I think I'd yell at someone else to get out of the space in front of me so I could run in.
I'm looking forward to the next challenge sometimes if you get to actually enjoy what's happening at the time.
He won't get sacked. That's absolutely not going to happen.
We can get him back in the team and that can help him work through some of the personal things that he's got going.
We copped a pasting towards the end of last year and we were in a really bad spot as a club.
I didn't expect anything less from him. I can't believe it took him 2 rounds to get suspended.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
And we're in the Inner Sanctum thanks to Callaway Golf. Callaway's new Epic driver is changing the game. Start your own epic experience at callaway.golf. callawaygolf.com.au even. Taylor Adams from the Magpies joins us. He's got his own epic beard going on at the moment. Good morning to you, Taylor.
Good morning. Yeah, the beard's it's coming along nicely after 3 wins in a row. So I was just saying, I'm getting really sick of it, but happy to grow it.
So what's the go? Why is it still growing? Is there some sort of competition going on?
Yeah, we had a goal kicking competition with the coaches about a month ago now. We've had a few of them and our coaching staff are quite good at goal kicking.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
We've got Buckley, Sanderson, Rocker.
Yeah.
Are you quite good or are they quite good or are you quite bad?
Well, it's funny because they pick the 6 guys that they kick against.
Yeah.
And
all defenders?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, but it's a pretty star-studded lineup, our coaching panel. So
very skillful lineup.
Yeah.
So what's the competition?
So until we lose a game of footy, we have to keep growing our beards. So there's some pretty unhappy girlfriends.
Hopefully, you're going to be really hairy, for Magpies fans' sake.
Yeah, I want to sort of speak to Sando because he's the guy in charge of it, and I want to sort of make a compromise that if we do win this week, it's we can shave for the bye and then start again.
Okay,
because I'm not too sure.
I don't think that works. I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah. I'm gonna put it forth though.
I'm a bit worried about it though, because obviously you're hating it. You don't hate it enough to like, you know, throw a game or something to get rid of the beard.
Thank you for the beard.
Nah, not quite. But there's a get out clause, and that is you write a letter to Sando. On a Collingwood letterhead, and he has to approve of it. So there's been a few of
it's
those.
A formal application, is it?
Yeah.
But that's right. Just too far for you. You won't go that far.
No.
You won't write a letter?
No. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let him have the satisfaction that he's beaten me.
The bye is an issue for you, though, isn't it?
It is.
Because if you beat Melbourne and then the bye, you're starting to get into Jimmy Vartel territory.
There's actually a few pretty good beard guys at the moment. James Aish is... He surprised me. He's growing a really, really strong beard. So. Yeah.
Who's growing the worst beard?
Pendles.
Pendles.
Easily. Patchy. He almost looks a bit Mexican.
Does he?
Yeah.
Righty-o.
There's pride in growing a beard, isn't there?
My word, there is.
Absolutely.
My word, there is.
Yeah.
So
when it's the only hair you've got in your face or your head, it takes real pride. Don't worry about that. We love it. We love it. We love the fact that you were able to go west on the weekend, Taylor, and get the job done against Fremantle in ultra-difficult circumstances, let alone going west in the first place, then being 3 men down effectively for the last portion of the game. It's a huge performance. You must have been wrapped with why the boys stood up.
Yeah, the last three weeks, 4 weeks has been really positive for us. That trip's always a bit daunting, heading over to Domain Stadium to play either West Coast or Freo, and we hadn't won there for quite some time. So you know, they're coming off a 100-point loss, a proud footy club, and yeah, we played some really good footy. We started well, and you know they come back really hard in that second half. And that last quarter, and the way that the boys stood up, you know, there's some really good individual efforts. Tyson Gold set to go out there and carry one arm was pretty impressive. But yeah, to be three men basically down and to get the job done in those circumstances was really pleasing and sort of gives us a bit of momentum going into this week.
We've spoken a bit about the Pies through the year with you, obviously, in the sanctum, and playing okay, not quite being able to land the killer blows. You've done that in the last 3 weeks. What's been the difference?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've been asked that quite a bit over the last, I guess, couple of weeks. For me, it's just more consistency. So we've put, I guess, 4 quarters of pretty solid effort together, and we're kicking some points now. Like, we've kicked over 100 points for 4 weeks, 3 weeks in a row. And if you do that, I feel like we're a pretty good defensive team. We can defend most teams to stay under 100 points. So. Our offense is certainly working a lot better. We're not turning the ball over as much as we were, but we're getting really good 4-quarter consistent effort. all by that first quarter against Hawthorn, we've been pretty consistent.
Taylor, there's been a change in the narrative because of that over the last couple of weeks, with how people are talking about the club, how you can come in and speak about the club. Has that been a significant shift for you and the players, or is that kind of like, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter what the narrative is, how it's being spoken about, you just get on with it?
I think in past times it probably would have had an impact on the playing group and the coaching staff, but I've said before that even though we were 2-6, it never really felt like we were completely out of the year. And I mentioned it in our review yesterday. I sort of just said it's a credit to everyone involved at the footy club to get us back to 5-6 after such a tough time, you know, in the first 8 rounds. So, although, it was obviously, we were disappointed with the start of our year and not winning games, it just felt like we were thereabouts. And, you try not to listen to too much of the external noise, but it's nice to see some nice things written about our club now.
So what then happens when you get back to Melbourne and you realise Daniel Wells has done the calf again? You mentioned Goldsack, he's got a broken shoulder. Jamie Elliott's done the ankle again. Does that stall the momentum from a feeling good point of view? Or are you now feeling that you're going that well, that these are the sort of things you can overcome now quite easily?
Well, it's definitely disappointing to see guys go down. And they're three pretty experienced guys that have a big impact for us. But as Buck said after the game, they'll get their roles will be filled, and guys will step up and fill their spots. And that's exactly what good footy sides do. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see who comes in this week and how well they can play the role of those three guys, because they've been huge for us, especially Goldie and Billy. Like, Goldie's been absolutely amazing for us down back. He's been our rock, and Bill up forward's just created some real good energy, and kicked a few goals in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the situation with Jamie Elliott is that he's in a moon boot. They'll know next week the extent of the injury, so it's a little unknown. But how is he going mentally because of the amount of footy he's missed? And he was just starting to display that form that we know him to play like. He's already a top 50 player in the AFL. How is he feeling mentally?
Yeah, it's obviously really tough for him. He found some form, and he was playing really good footy, missing all of last year and then a fair chunk of this year. It's certainly difficult for players to overcome that. But initially, I feel like he's going quite well. I don't think he knows the extent of the injury yet, and it's probably a good thing. A bit of unknown. But he'll do exactly what he has done: attack his rehab and make sure he stays fit, because we're going to need him in the second half of the year.
Well, I think he's the most difficult one to replace. We know Tyson Goldsack's had a big influence, and Daniel Wells, a real class finisher for you. But I think Jamie Elliott's the one. Considering the challenges you were having in the forward third of the ground in the early part of the year when he wasn't there, the difference he made, let alone the fact he hit the scoreboard himself, but the difference he makes to the dynamic and the shape of your forward line, I think he's the most difficult one to replace. Who's likely to fill that role?
It's a good question. I agree. He's certainly he's such a dynamic player. I think there's a few guys putting their hand up. Cale Kirby kicked 6.
Tell me about this Cale Kirby fella.
Well, we won't see him this week, I wouldn't have thought. He's got a fair bit of work to do. He's just a raw young kid with an immense amount of talent. He's got to make sure that his defensive game is as good as his offensive game, because he can kick 6 or 7 goals a game. We're relying on him to play in our team defence and not be an outlier there. So he's probably got a few more weeks to prove his worth, but he's doing everything right at the moment. Coming to the footy club, as I said, really raw and probably immature, and he's taken some really giant leaps forward. So I'm really proud of the way that he's attacked his footy season this year, because there was some real question marks over his professionalism and if he was going to be able to cope in the system. He's done really well.
Can I ask you about that team defence comment you made? Because a lot of these kids come in out of the under-18 competition, really good attacking players, and got great flair, and that's why they get noticed, that's why they get drafted in the first place. How difficult is it for some of these kids, particularly the flamboyant, flary ones, to play that team defence, to learn that there's more than just getting the ball and kicking goals, that there's another side to the game at this level, and you've got to be awesome at it before you get a look?
Yeah, I think a lot of the young boys find it really difficult to adjust. And it's defence, like in under-18s, you're basically focusing on is offence, and then you play on a man.
Yeah.
But our defensive structures are obviously a lot different in the AFL system now. So it takes some time for them to adjust and get used to that system. But I think as long as you're building the right culture and you're consistently training the right things and guys are getting games for the right reasons, then it sets a precedent and guys just don't think they're going to walk up if they kick five goals.
Mm. Interesting. 18 past 7, Taylor Adams is with us in the Kelowna Sanctum of the Magpies. There's plenty more to talk about because this young man has lit a fire building into the Queen's Birthday clash with Melbourne on Monday at the mighty MCG. Looking forward to chatting to him about that and more on the Breakfast Club Inner Sanctum after this.
Exclusive access behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Oh, might be. What's he at a successful club now, is he? Okay. It's the first I've heard of it, but yeah, we might be able to use that one, I guess. A bit of motivation. Not sure what he's done at Collingwood yet, though.
Excellent stuff from Beanie Vince. He was yesterday. Bernie, wearing a beanie. He was Beanie Vince yesterday in the build-up to the Queen's Birthday Clash. This is the Inner Sanctum, thanks to Callaway Golf and the new GBB Epic Driver. The Epic is changing the game. Find out how at callawaygolf.com.au. Now, he was referring, Mr. Vince, to a comment made by our very own Taylor Adams about Lyndon Dunn not being perhaps at a successful club prior to this season, not sure what you were trying to get at, Taylor, but you said that he hadn't been a successful club. Bernie's come back fire and he might use that, he says, on Monday with the boys. What are you expecting when you get out there on Monday after your inflammatory comments? Which I think are fine, by the way.
Not a whole lot different. It's a pretty fiery game as it is, so probably added a little bit of fuel to a already quite big burning fire. I actually don't even know what I was trying to... I didn't realise what I'd said until I got back on the bus after the game. I was sort of in game mode and that one just slipped out. I was sort of lost in the moment of pumping up Dunny. And I guess I've just been really impressed with the way that he's handled himself, Lyndon, and what impact he's had on our footy club on and off the field. So I certainly wasn't trying to insinuate that we're a successful football club because I haven't played a final yet. And as Bernie mentioned, we haven't really done a whole lot, which is more than fair enough.
So when you do realise, or the tweets start coming in response to that conversation or that comment from you, what happens? Does the media officer come looking for you? Does the coach come looking for you? What sort of feedback do you get from the club when that happens?
Not a whole lot.
I'm pleased to hear that.
It's not like I've I've gone out and racially vilified somebody or anything like that. So it's almost like a comedy in passing and that's about it. I think Sarah, our media manager, sort of understands that I can handle myself and she'll let me do that. And if need be, if I keep going down that path, she'll pull me back in the line. But I think she knew that I didn't mean to say what I said and that I'd be able to clear it up.
But pump up for Danny.
Yeah, I was trying to just pump Dunny up. More so just say that he's come from a club that didn't want him and he's excelling at our footy club and it's great to see a man do that and be so happy in doing it.
But I think that light-hearted way, I think, is the way most people have taken it. I think even Bernie Vince, when he was making those comments, had a smile on his face. But would you expect that sort of thing, not necessarily your comment, but comments that are made prior to matches, how much of an impact do you think that has? You know, I know a lot of people, we don't want to say anything to fire up the other team. Do you need that as extra motivation going into a match?
I don't think so. I'd be very surprised if that was used in any sort of pre-game for them. No one's under any illusion about where their footy club's at and what they've done. So, it's a big game for both clubs this week. It's a huge game.
Stuff is written on the whiteboard at times, though. Isn't it?
Yeah, but not necessarily aiming or aimed at other clubs or the club opposing. It's more so, it's very tactical these days. It's a lot of emotion is left out of the game in the build-up, and it's sort of probably left that two-hour block before the game, and that's when the coach might become a little bit emotional. But it's usually drawn back to, drawn back to our footy club and what we can do and what players at our footy club can do. So I'd be very surprised if it was used as a motivational factor for them. But I would like to see more of it, to be honest. Like the NBA, I love how honest and raw they are, and it's almost cocky, but it's just confidence.
It's a really interesting point you raise about taking emotion out of it. I think the general footy public and sporting public probably don't understand that element of professional football these days, that you're trying to go in with as little emotion as possible, because because it affects your arousal levels, obviously, and that's going to affect your performance, and that means your gap between your best and your worst is going to be significant. If you can keep it sort of level, keep yourself level and focus on what you need to be doing and what your strengths are and nullifying their weaknesses, as opposed to playing on emotion, saying we hate these blokes sort of stuff, yeah. We owe these blokes, you get a much more consistent performance consistently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, if you're worrying about... Well, if you're getting really pumped up on a Tuesday when you're playing the following Monday, you're going to be very tired by the time the game comes around. So, yeah it's keeping it all level-headed until, as I said, that two-hour block before the game, and that's when you really start to fire yourself up. I mean, there's times throughout the week when you might think about the game and you might get pumped up, or you might think about last year's game and be like, you know, I want to prove them wrong and we are on one. But, yeah, you certainly don't let it... Don't let it settle in and get to you too much, because, as you said, if you go in there and you're over aroused, you can play very poorly.
So to sort of extend that further, the supporters of Collingwood and Melbourne would be so excited about Monday, because there could be 90,000 people there, and the media's job will be to pump up the game as well, because it is a massive game for both clubs. Does it excite you thinking about Monday, or are you still very much in preparation mode? You're playing lots of big games anyway. We'll just go about our business and prepare exactly like every other game.
I'll still prepare like every other game, but I'm very excited about the game coming up. Absolutely. Queen's Birthday is one of the best rounds of the year. So, you know, we're very lucky as a footy club to play that standalone game on the Monday. And, you know, it's a great rivalry now that we've had with Melbourne. They've beaten us the last two Queen's Birthdays. And, we're desperate for a win. So... And so are they. It's funny because, you know, if we win, we could potentially go into the eight. If they win, they can potentially go into the eight. So it's obviously a huge game. And, yeah, the fact that there's going to be 80,000, 90,000 people there, it certainly makes you, yeah, it makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up when you think about it.
Hey, what did the impact of the Magpies netball team losing have on the club during the week? They were touted as premiership favourites, and for those who aren't up with it, they were in the minor semi-final. They finished just squeaked into the four and then didn't find the form that we all expected them to find even in that finals, and lost by one, so are now out of the Suncorp Super Netball finals race. Did that cause a riffle at the club?
Yeah, so we are obviously over in Perth on Saturday night and watched the game as a team, and it was really disappointing. It was sort of, because you've built relationships with the girls now. Obviously, they spend a heap of time at the footy club, and we see how hard they've worked. And yeah, it's like it's any sport. We felt a connection to them, and it was heartbreaking to see them lose the way they did. You know, they got up in that last quarter, and that third quarter was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, they just a few costly errors, and it's like anything, like our game. It's so disappointing to see. Athletes at a high level, you know, with such raw emotion straight after a loss, and it's hard to see when you know them and have a connection to them.
One has more of a connection than others, Daniel, as well, between the football club and the netball club.
So right. What do you say?
No, I'm just saying that some of them have got strong connections.
Right, okay, no worries. I'll leave that there, I think. Before... Monday's going to be big because our very own Sherrone McMahon is going in the big furry three down the slide in some sort of out. We're not quite sure yet. I'm thinking the netty with the goal assist thing.
You live in an AFL bubble.
I'm in an AFL bubble. Goal attack. It was the GA. I was trying to work out what the GA was in my head. The goal attack bib, maybe a little bit of sparkle action, maybe some diamantes or whatever you want to do. Maybe a little bit of zhuzh on the diamonds outfit. That'd be good, I reckon, Sherelle. You'll be there. And, of course, it's been a massive success the last 2 years, the first two editions. Raised $8 million in public funds towards research designed to potentially treat and cure MND. It is the Fight MND campaign, which Neil Danaher, of course, is fronting unbelievably courageously. And you can donate and get involved at fightmnd.org.au or text FREEZE to 0429 000 0330 0429 000 333. Sherelle will be there. It's an hour and a bit before the game. Will you make an effort, you guys, to get out there and have a look at the superstars of Australian sport go down the slide, Taylor?
I hope we can, yeah. Yeah,
a bit of support would be nice.
I'll be at the bottom of the slide with the towel for you.
Yeah, I might need more than the towel. Yeah.
It's only 3 tons of ice, they reckon.
Yeah, that's all.
That's
a lot.
Yeah. I think I've only ever been in a nice bath that's maybe had like 1 or 2 bags of ice, so it might be a bit of a difference. I don't know.
Neil Danaher, who's going to be on the show on Friday morning too, by the way, on The Breakfast Club, which will be fantastic to chat about the big freeze. It's at 2 o'clock on Channel 7, or you'll be there, of course, at the MCG, and you'll see all the action unfold. Before we let you go, and thank you for your time again, Taylor, the Alex Fasolo situation, how's he doing, the Faz man? We learnt last week, of course, of his situation with his mental health challenge. We were told he's going to stay at the footy club and continue to train, which I think is a good thing. How's he doing? Because there was some suggestion he might play in Queen's Birthday when that all came out last week.
He's doing really well, first of all. He's been training and basically living his life as normal, which is what he's always going to do. So, hopefully, I haven't spoken to him about this week coming, but hopefully he puts his hand up to play. He'd, you know, be a welcome inclusion for us down forward. It's great to see him. Great to see him training. It's great to see the public and the media and everyone just support what he's done. Obviously, it was a pretty brave act to come out and openly admit that he had depression and that he was battling. And I feel like he feels like he's got a bit of weight off his shoulders now, and he can just get on with it and deal with what he's got to deal with, but also live a normal life and, you know, do his job to the best of his ability. So we'll continue to support him and hopefully he plays this week. It'd be great.
As a teammate, were you surprised that he came out and said what he was going through? Was it on your radar as a teammate of his?
I'm really close to Faz. And I said before that I'd noticed like small changes in him, but I didn't realise to the extent of what he was battling. And
so small changes, can you explain what they are for people have a mate that might be going through something similar?
Yeah, I just noticed that he wasn't his normal self. Like, he's a very charismatic, up and about guy that I could see at times he was flat, but he did a really good job of hiding it, and that was the reason that everyone was so surprised, I guess, at the footy club and outside, because everyone sees this guy that's always, you know, up and about. He's happy, he's loud, and almost got that cockiness to him. So it just goes to show that no one's immune to it. And I think the best thing you can do is put your hand up and admit it and ask for help. And nowadays, that stigma of, you know, depression being an embarrassing thing's gone. And I was really proud of him, the way that he handled himself and the way that he came out, because certainly wasn't easy. I know it wasn't easy for him telling the playing group, and it wasn't easy for him telling me, one of his best mates. So I can only imagine how hard it was for him to come out and tell, you know, millions of people that he doesn't know. So I was rapt that he did that. He's got some really, really great support behind him now, and I encourage anyone who's battling to open up about it and get the help they need.
Absolutely. We hope that we see that cheeky grin from the Faz man out there sooner rather than later when he's ready back there for the Pies. But good luck to you, mate, and to the boys on Monday. It's going to be a ripping Queen's Birthday clash against the D's. A little bit of fuel on the fire. We love that. And, of course, a little bit of ice to top it off with Sherelle going down the slide. Go well.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Taylor Adams, our man from the Magpies and the Callaway Inner Sanctum on a Wednesday morning, 25-8. After the break, Simone McInnes, the coach of the Vixens, will join us ahead of prelim against the Giants.